All right, folks, I got some good news and some bad news to share with you. The good news is welcome to the second part of our conversation with Mashenka, Pavel, and me, where we talk about apps, gadgets, and homesickness. Interesting combination. The bad news is, however, I have joined the team quarantine since Monday because I've been tested COVID positive and will stay under quarantine for a couple more days and hope I will be out again soon. But except for a bit of a cold and feeling sick for about 2 or 3 days, I am doing pretty fine. And as Monty Python would put it, always look at the bright side of life and enjoy listening to this podcast episode. All right, that wasn't Monty Python. I just added that phrase.
Also, like, speaking of buses, there is a new system that they are testing now in, I think, Warsaw, where I don't know if you heard of Navilens. It's
it's
a Spanish.
I think we talked about it recently, during one of the World Bars, I think.
Yeah, they do make sort of like bigger or improved QR code systems where the code is easier to catch with a smartphone camera even if you're blind.
Oh, good. Finally.
Yeah. And the idea is that you stand at a bus stop, the bus is approaching, and you catch the code with your camera, and it will tell you what line it is and which direction. I mean, you will see the information on your phone. And I have seen how this works because I interviewed actually the people behind Navilens for one of the podcasts where I'm volunteering. And we got the sheet of paper from Barcelona train station or bus stop. And I could easily scan it. And because it was cloud connected, I was getting like real time information on the next upcoming buses. So it was very well advanced, and apparently it also has some translation services built in, because it could show me this information in Polish, even though it was like in Barcelona. So it's a really nice thing, and you can also use this personally for your own things, because you can generate a whole sheet of these QR codes in the app for free, and you can put them on whatever you need, your boxes of stuff or cards for games, anything really.
Good.
That's cool, yeah. We already have been talking about certain apps and gadgets. I already tried out a couple of devices that I bought for my kitchen, for example, like the weight set to make some roasted almonds for Christmas, which was very nice.
Mm-hmm.
The air fryer, obviously, was the most awesome purchase ever.
Yes.
Thank you for that recommendation.
I can get you another suggestion, which is the Vitamix. For making smoothies, soups. It can make you a dough. Ice cream, desserts, chocolate sauce. I really like my Vitamix. But the air fryer is, of course, the best. The second is the Vitamix.
Awesome. Oh, and I also got some sort of device that you can put in a glass, or mainly in a cup, for example, if you're pouring in tea, that it would start beeping as soon as there's enough water in the in the cup, so it doesn't drip over.
I got one, and some even.
It sounds like my smoke alarm.
Oh yeah, terrible. But I have one that sounds like, I don't know, a grasshopper or something like that. Very nice.
Pavel, what about you?
I haven't really developed much when it comes to cooking and managing kitchen, so I didn't get anything myself, but I heard of a couple of nice things, and I'm really interested to hear of somebody trying them out, because it turns out that there is plenty of really interesting household gadgets for the blind in the UK and in the Scandinavian countries, Because what they have, for example, I think that was a Danish store with aids for the blind. And they have, for example, a board that you can use where you can sort of block or hook your piece of bread. And you can spread butter or anything on it if you are just one-handed, if you can only use one hand.
Wow!
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they have these kind of things. I also came across... what was that?
That was the device I talked about.
Oh, the liquid measurement.
I just put my fingers on it because it conducts as well. It's not.
Is it the grasshopper one or is it the beeping one?
The beeping one.
I have the beeping one. Yeah. I have that too. Actually, I used to carry it to work with me, and it was quite practical.
To wake up your colleagues.
But it was practical. You're very close because when I made tea, everyone else knew that their tea is ready.
Oh yeah, that's.
And we have like an office upstairs and an office downstairs. So my colleagues upstairs knew that I made them tea whenever I. Put it in. So it was practical. But because I had the grasshopper one too, and I used it at another workplace, and I had the nickname Rattlesnake there, so...
I was a bit disappointed because I bought this thing, and I thought it was one of the quieter devices that would just like do some sort of noise.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And instead it was like this kind of beep noise.
Because it's meant.
I don't want to disturb my neighbors. I should stop.
It's meant for people with severe hearing loss too. I think so.
This is why
they're so loud.
Mm.
Yeah, I also hate using this in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's almost like a smoke alarm.
Yeah, it really does. It really does.
But speaking
try
of
noise canceling, that should work.
Yeah. Speaking of making tea, I also came across kettles that help you also pour some tea without spilling the water outside. And one is called Uccello, and it's an Australian one, and it's also sold in the UK and Ireland and in Scandinavia, I think Norway and Sweden. And it's somehow, I don't know how it's constructed, but somehow you're supposed to be able to pour in the water without lifting it from the base.
Mm, okay.
So there is that, and there is, I think, one is called Breville. It's a company, it's called Breville, and it's called Hot Cup Dispenser. And it's supposed to be some kind of water dispenser, so you don't really have to pour it so hard, you just dispense it. It's really interesting. They are sort of expensive things, but...
yes. I can imagine.
If you can look that up, it's definitely there. So that's what I found out in the meantime.
Mm-hmm. Good.
I definitely, what I bought was a, I'm not sure if the translation is right, because I never used this word before. It's called tea strainer.
Uh-huh.
So basically it's a sort of cup-like thing with a lot of very, very tiny, tiny little holes in there. And you basically... put in the tea or prepare the tea inside there. Prepare the dose that is suitable for you. And mm-hmm. then you pour over hot water and it would just be filtered through those tiny little holes so that the actual tea remains in that small cup, and the rest of the water with the tea liquid ends up in your tea cup or pot or whatever you prefer.
Mm.
Yeah, that and especially for I like to drink black tea especially, and especially for black tea. I think it is the best taste if you just pour over the water.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. Yeah.
With the milk in beforehand and then the tea.
Oh, yeah.
And then some sugar on top.
Are you sure? Are you sure? First milk, then the tea, or the other way around?
I prefer that way. Like a shot of milk, and then I pour in the tea, and then it combines a little bit better, in my opinion.
Yeah, okay. I usually did it the other way around, and it's sort of milk.
It does work like as well, like but...
I'm coming back in a minute.
Have it your way, have it my way.
Sure.
Okay,
sure,
yeah.
Sure.
See you later.
Knee ride back. Yeah, but I... What else did I find? Ah, oh, yes. I was experimenting with something because I wanted to drink water, like tap water, because it's healthy and it's basically there and for free.
Yeah.
But I don't like the taste of water alone. And I'm trying to come up with some way to make it flavored. And one thing I just bought, and I'm testing this since Friday.
Air up.
Sorry?
Air up?
No, what is hair up?
Air up is, yeah, obviously some sort of, I don't know how it works. I first heard it on YouTube commercials, and then one of my colleagues described it to me that it's some sort of, I don't know, cup or something like that. You basically pour in water, normal tap water, and you put in some sort of pets that produce a certain flavor, and obviously when you drink it feels like you're drinking Coke or whatever. You
yes, something similar. I heard it's called water drop here in Poland. They're like cubes, and they're supposed to be healthy because there is no sugar in, but it's supposed to taste like different fruit and herbs. And apparently, but this is like one cube is good for 2 liters of water.
Okay.
So I'm thinking of getting a pack of this, but now what I got is a powder. It's called Bolero drink, and I think it's Polish. and you just add a little bit of the powder, and I mean really a little bit, because the whole package is meant again for 2 liters. Because in 1.5 liters, it's very sweet already. And it makes your water flavored into different things, from elderflower. I tried elderflower. I tried honey melon. I tried mango and chili. And they have a lot of different... I actually ended up with the fruity ones, and I think coconut is the only one that is not fruity that I have. But apparently they are more like also in the direction of vanilla and things like that. And my colleague who recommended this to me, he said that apparently these less fruity ones are probably meant for milk, not for water. So I'll have to test it out.
Yeah, what I'm definitely going to take with me, possibly even on Salesforce appointments when you're sitting in the car and preparing, like mostly when I'm preparing a tea, I'm doing it when I'm having home office, because it just needs time to get it prepared properly, and I wouldn't do that on the fly, but you know, if I prepare, if I recently got a thermo cup where you can basically prepare the tea inside, and then you can just close it, and if you have a good thermo cup, it would stay warm for more than a couple of hours.
Yes. This is a good solution. This is also one thing I got myself finally. A nice bottle for water. Water bottle. And I use this a lot because, first of all, Tyrol is full of drinking water of good quality. Like even in the street, if you're lucky, you'll find a tub. And also, I did some tandem riding and some wall climbing and a bit of other activities. I just went for walks and stuff, and I wanted to have something to drink when on the road. So I got myself a nice bottle.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Another thing that I wanted to talk about that I just saw on my list is, you know, we've been talking about being independent in different places, accomplishing a couple of new challenges and stuff like that. But, you know, you are, Pavel, you have been in Austria. I am also further away from home. Mashinka, you're probably the farthest away from home. Mm-hmm. So do you from time to time feel kind of like homesick, or doesn't that play a role in your case?
No.
Not at all,
because I always wanted to travel and now I have the chance. So no, I don't feel homesick.
I, on the other hand, did. Because of COVID, it was difficult to make like a lot of friends. And even when I had them, it wasn't like so many people that I could rely on them every weekend. I would have to basically hang on somebody else's shoulders, and it's not fair and not fine. So there were a lot of moments where I felt really lonely. And the fact that my parents were so far away, I mean, I've been further than this away from home, but they were different times and different circumstances. I think also what was different this time, and only after many, many months, one colleague made me aware of this. This was the first experience that I made where there was no immediate network of people who were in the same situation. Because when I went on my Erasmus, there were other Erasmus students or other students in general. When I went on a traineeship in the European Parliament, there were other trainees. When I went to this volunteership, there were other volunteers, but they were spread all across Tyrol. And when it's lockdown or the corona is striking really hard, it's not a very favorable time to meet.
Excuse me, I get a phone call. I'm coming.
Yeah, sure. Is that the first episode you recorded since last year?
Actually, yes. I must admit, yes, because I actually planned to record some other stuff when the time was there, and I think we have been talking about different topics that we could have talked about in one of the podcast episodes, but it never came to, because mm-hmm. At some point I was too busy, not in the mood or whatever.
Mashinka left us.
Oh. So yeah, maybe, I'm not sure when Mashinka is going to come back, but maybe we can continue talking about the homesickness thing, because you, I think you were interrupted in the middle of your sentence.
Okay.
It was just interesting to listen to.
Okay.
Because we might have something in common.
Yeah, it was difficult to meet up at the time. And then all of them left and I stayed on to work. And yeah, it ended up being basically me with no network of people in my situation. It was quite a horrible experience, to be honest. I'm still in touch with one person who was a volunteer as well, and we have really good contact. We were hosting our radio show together. And even now we exchange some messages closer to the new year. And she also invited me, because she came from Greece, and she also asked me for some interviews or sort of appearance at her English class with her students, so I could mm-hmm. explain to them how it works, like living with blindness and so on. So it was definitely like something developed out of this project, where we carried on with some contacts and we did some more stuff. But yeah, it was the first experience where I was sort of alone without a network, and that was horrible. But therefore, I wasted all of my leave almost on staying home back in Poland with my family. But therefore also if I look for next experience, I would prefer it somewhere closer, just in case. So I'm thinking like Vienna or... Yeah.
Yeah, actually, it's quite interesting that you think about the same, because I mean, you have been up for this for quite a while. I mean, I've been in Marburg for most of the time of my life, 13 years actually to be precise, and I've never been in anywhere else except for, you know, a short term time period in Hamburg or I don't know, elsewhere. Mainly though, somewhere between Hamburg and Marburg, where I, you know, where I'm basically used to the people, the culture, and my way. And yeah, so I at some point I was sure you at some point would manage a little better than I would do. And that's why I wanted to, you know, ask you during the podcast episode, so you don't have any time to prepare. No, that was a question that was already on my mind for quite a while, and I wrote that down in order to not forget it. And yeah, actually, it's I think it's natural to be to be homesick, and I must yeah, obviously I was also homesick. And I sometimes do feel a bit homesick when I'm in a very bad mood. And when I have the feeling I'm losing control of things. Yeah, I mean, my father's death is probably also one more reason that is kind of like catalyzing things.
I bet, yeah.
Yeah, it's... you know, let's face it, it's not very easy to go to a completely different place in during the time of the pandemic. What cheered me up though, what cheered me up a lot, was actually going out of my flat, going to work, meeting my colleagues. And my special thank you shout out once again goes to my colleagues, and to my great team, if you ever decide to listen to my podcast, you know, who were always there in, you know, the office, in the company, and we could cheer each other up in a limited way, but yeah, in a way was still possible. And I could also make a few friends already in the beginning, like... sometimes, I don't know, maybe God sometimes sends the right people to you. But in any case, from the first day on, I met a group of regular commuters who took the same train that I did. Not necessarily getting off at the same train station, but yeah, one of them asked me on the first day whether I needed help, and we got to talk a little bit more often, and we saw each other on a regular basis because we always took the same train. Some of them are still there, some others are already gone. But yeah, that was one reason that cheered me up. And I really discovered that on certain days where they weren't there because of whatever reason, I was like, oh my God, what happened? Anything wrong? And he basically just felt like someone who was, I don't know, left on its own. And it was a strange feeling that I never felt since I got more independent in Marburg, because mm-hmm. at some point there were always people around, and you always knew where to go in order to make contact. And yeah, and during the first few months in Darmstadt, it was surely a challenge that I would say I mastered, but you know, at even now, at times like these, where it's kind of uncertain how it's going on, especially before and after Christmas, whether what's not sure whether we're going to have lockdown or not, in a certain way. I was also a little bit, heartbroken, I would say. But what I miss the most, although I travel a lot, of course, in Salesforce, is actually traveling abroad and, you know, meet each other. We also haven't met ever since the pandemic.
That is true. That is so true. And I lost a lot of contacts during that time. Like, I can see that even though it's quite easy to say, we'll stay in touch. We have the internet, we have all these messengers and services to keep in touch. Mm-hmm. Reality is that I guess we are somehow so through with the whole technology thing because we work with technology, we communicate for work with technology, for events that we cannot attend in life, that I thought at the beginning it's going to be so cool. We organize another online event. It's going to be so good. And then you feel like, I don't feel like this anymore. There's been too much Zoom, too much whatever, Microsoft Teams. I would like to go out and meet people. And of course, events like, for example, the ICC bar, they basically kept me alive, through this time. And the fact that we are like a fixed group of people who will meet and we will talk the whole night through, it was definitely something. But I will echo again the same thing that I said at the end of the first ICC weekend, the virtual one. Blind people definitely know how to party online. Because I have seen a couple of social events organized with sighted people for like webinars and things like that, like or trainings that had to be put off into online mode. And it's not that it didn't work, but people feel definitely restrained. Like the fact that you're looking at the camera, at your own picture, it keeps you fixed to the spot. For me, it's totally all right in an ICC bar that I move around my house with my phone on, grab something to drink, grab something to eat. I'm in my kitchen. I keep walking back and forth. I'm even walking now as I talk to you. And I feel completely fine with this. But for people, usually, it just means sitting in front of the PC. And I think this sort of also enforces people don't feel as relaxed as they usually are. And of course, forget it that they will switch off the camera and they'll just switch to audio. It's just not their thing. Mm. And
Some of them are kind of like, why don't you turn on your camera?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or they won't immediately say like... or ask if, I don't know, obviously we don't turn on the light that often. And sometimes when it's getting dark and I have my camera on, they're like, are you kept hostage? the only light that could be seen comes from your laptop.
If you don't want to be here, just blink twice. Yeah. This is the problem. We don't know how to feel safe and comfortable being online. Therefore, it's such a torture somehow to go through these events because everything feels so artificial. And the organizers who usually do these things, they're trying their very, very best to sort of master this whole reality. But still, it won't replace that. But somehow with things like ICC, this works. People are intent on talking and basically being free around. It's so cool.
I know that we had this conversation. I'm not sure where it was. Maybe even during the organizational meetings, where some people said we were so less people the last time, and I was like, "How can you call eight people less? I mean, we're eight people. That's pretty good. And even if it's just like a fixed group of people." Who always joins, it shows that we are the core group. And if more people join, it's great. But even if we're just the core group of those eight people, it shows that we're sticking together and that we don't leave each other behind.
Yeah, exactly. It's like who wants to come, they will come. And... sometimes I think it's not about the quality, it's not about the quantity, it's about the quality.
Because you can have more serious conversations if you're with less people.
Yeah, I do have this one Polish TimTok server where I usually join, and there will be always people there. I just know it. So it's like my background thing yeah. to do. I could eat a meal and be on this TimTok server.
Yeah, I did that and, as well during yeah. the last ICC bar.
And it works so well. It's like nobody cares. You can eat things and people ask like, so what you're eating today?
Yeah.
And like, yeah, sure, I'm eating.
Yeah, you can make other people jealous.
Yeah.
Or in worst case.
And then, okay, so you're grabbing a beer as well. Ah, no, not today. And it's just natural and people do this. And yeah, this is very, very interesting how this dynamics develops. And it's a pity that more people can't enjoy it so much. Maybe yeah. we should start giving courses on this.
As far as the ICC, yeah, indeed. We should make some workshops. But yeah, from blind people to sighted people. But it happens a lot. Now that you mentioned sighted people, it happens a lot. It happened a lot during the time where we switched from the physical English meetings, for example, to the online meetings. And for me, it was totally okay, actually, because I didn't have to go anywhere. That's the good that's a great advantage. If people said, oh, I don't have time today, but it happened. Sometimes it happened. I wouldn't say a lot, but it happened often that people said, yeah, I'm going to make it today. And although it's just, I don't know, it should be a short way from, I don't know, your bed to your laptop or to your phone or whatever, or from your couch to your laptop to your phone, let's put it like that. A lot of people sometimes on very short notice just didn't show up. They said, oh, I'm not going to make it today. And I mean, we organized this on Skype, so we could just do the Skype call and whoever picked up joined the call. And sometimes we just ended up being by ourselves, or I ended up being on my own, or other people who tried to call ended up being on their own, or we just ended up with two or three. So as far as the ICC meetings are concerned, eight people is like, wow. Yeah. if people say eight people is too less, seriously, you haven't seen other meetings where sometimes people do not show up at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember when I tried to organize a meeting for people from in a training that I attended, and only three people turned up. It was quite sad.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but I mean, one can be happy that you know, we have the chance to connect online. I mean, in the end, and that's the most depressing part of it. In the end, you still end up if you hang up. If we are going to hang up now, we will end up being in our own flats. I will be on my own in my flat in Darmstadt once again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're going to be in Poland.
In Poland, yeah, yeah.
We're so far apart. I came from closer to Poland today.
How was the journey?
Yeah, it was pretty smooth. I had to change one more time, and I had to wait. That pissed me off. I had to wait like 57 minutes in Dresden, and the lady who picked me up was like, that's kind of stupidly timed, because at the time where you arrive, or just 5 minutes earlier, the train to Frankfurt departed from Dresden.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have even gone to Frankfurt directly without having to change, and you would have arrived way earlier. But instead, you have to wait for an hour, then you have to go to Leipzig and change there, wait 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was a bit more changing and waiting, but yeah, in the end, it was a very smooth ride. It could have been worse. I see much worse.
Cool. The most important thing is you made it safe and sound in these troubled times.
Yeah, but concerning like homesickness, it stopped or it stops sometimes kind of abruptly when I go out and meet people, which is more likely to be possible nowadays than it was before. And I think in summer, late summer last year, I started looking the first time for meetup opportunities nearby. Darmstadt is not very... they have a couple of meetups, but I'm not interested in those.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, most of the stuff is going on in Frankfurt, which is also not very far. I mean, it's... yeah, it's depending on where you have to go in Frankfurt. It can take like up to 30 minutes, 45 minutes, which is all right. But I'm still used to the times where I was in Marburg where it just took 20 minutes by foot to go to the cafe. And you could leave any time without having to rely on any public transport that brings you home.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, those times are long gone. But
yeah,
still, I enjoy. I try to go there more often. But sometimes after work, I just end up being at home. In worst case, I have been working in the fields that day, and depending on how long the day the day eventually was, I might as well just crash down on my sofa and just enjoy being at home on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day I'm going to regret it once again.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, as I said, it's kind of like an emotional... It can be kind of like an emotional roller coaster from time to time.
Yeah, definitely. But, definitely. I definitely feel that I wasn't myself this past year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still taking a toll on me. And I'm still not back to sort of where I was before. I'm... now very, very inactive, I must say.
Yeah.
Since I came home, I'm not up to much. And I don't feel like much either. It's very weird. But I sort of predicted this might happen. But because I was like sort of going work, home, work, home, work, home, and had this insecurities in between, I feel now that my psyche is sort of catching up with me. And
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, finally, because I have some space to think more and contemplate and reflect, it's giving me a hard kick for all these times where I neglected it. And I don't know, it's a difficult situation.
Yeah, that's true. It's I think that is surely an advantage during the pandemic, that you have more, that you had more time. Or still have more time to, you know, think and reflect. But at some point you might end up, and this is the very dangerous part, if your psyche is catching up with you,
yeah,
you might end up in a kind of negative spiral.
Mm-hmm,
and it's
mm-hmm.
pretty hard to get out of there
yeah.
by yourself. And in worst case, alcohol is definitely not no solution. That's for sure.
No, this is also not mine. I can feel that even if I feel at my lowest, I don't feel like no.
I don't feel like drinking either. Other people would just get drunk, and I must admit, I of
no.
course already tried it. But what does it help? I mean, in a certain way, in best case, you cheer up a little bit. Due mm-hmm. to the alcohol, but yeah, then you might cross the border line where you drink a little bit too much. And the next day you have a headache and you just feel very, very moody. And then you reflect, okay, what happened the last night? Why have I been drinking that much?
Mm-hmm.
And then everything comes back. And then it's even worse than it was the day before.
Yeah, yeah.
So... to all kids and to whomever is listening to us and whoever fancies drinking alcohol, it might not solve your problems.
mm-hmm.
But yeah, in most cases, I at least try to get out or try to talk to someone if possible. And what happened once was I was in a very, very depressed mood, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point I was like, okay, I can't stand anymore. I have to get out of here. No matter where, but I just have to get out and try to surround myself with some people. I just went into the city. And I happened to meet one of my regular commuters who was celebrating a birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously I didn't know of that, but still they invited me to join them. And I did join them. And we had a very great evening, and they really, really, really saved my day. Thank you for that.
Good. This is a really great event. This definitely lifts up your spirits.
Yeah. It was really spontaneous, though, but still it did work, and it eventually did the trick, and that was
mm-hmm.
the great thing about it.
Yeah, can imagine.
Hello.
Hi, welcome back.
Yeah, sorry for keeping long. That was my mother.
How dare you?
How much time difference is there between you two now?
Six hours.
Ah.
She's 6 hours ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And she's still out that late?
Yeah. Because she thought we would be ready, finish with the meeting by this time.
Then she doesn't know us.
Exactly.
Oh dear. Yeah, but we have been talking about the topic homesickness a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And Pavel and I had something in common because we came to the conclusion that we were able to survive pretty well in different places when we had opportunities to meet people and make contact. But obviously during the pandemic, it was kind of difficult.
Yes. That is really true. That's a challenge.
How was it in your case? Or was it really so easy as
it was? It was terrible. The first months were really something. But now it's improving, since they always say Omicron is not that dangerous. But I really wonder, I think we have a different Omicron here than in Europe. Every day, thousands of people here die of Corona. So I wonder. I don't really think that Omicron is the one that is dominating here, but still, yeah, I'm able to meet people, at least some of my workmates. We do some hangouts with my workmates in the evening, sometimes have a little wine or something like that. It's funny.
That's cool. Have you also been joining online meetings, or I mean private online meetings?
No. Yeah, I do. I mean, with my boyfriend and some friends at home, but yeah.
Yeah, or with some crazy people like us.
Exactly.
Yeah, because we also talked about the the fact that we had the online events, like we are also involved in ICC related events. We also have the World Bar, where basically anybody can join us. And we were basically talking about the difference between those kind of meetings, where we were usually around at least 8 people, which mm-hmm. some people thought sometimes it was too less. But, yeah. If 8 people is too less, you haven't seen certain other meetings organized by or with sighted people, where you sometimes end up being on your own or with just 2 or 3
exactly.
People.
Yeah. Excuse me. Now I'm getting another call. So I think for tonight I have to close it, because I still have to do my cooking for tomorrow.
Yeah, but in any case, it was a pleasure to talk to to you, and I think I'm definitely gonna.
Me too. I really enjoyed it. We'll do it another time. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, sure.
Make another. We can record another recap when the entire COVID stuff is gone, or we record all on site when we are in Washington or in Europe or whatever.
Yes.
Sure.
Good.
Okay.
That would be nice. All right. Now I have to call back. Have a good evening or a good night.
Yeah, you too.
Yep. Take care then.
Take care.
And you too.
Later. Bye.